In the name of Jesus, amen. What a treat this morning. Today is the day we get John 3:16, a verse that many of us know by heart. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I know there are probably a couple different translations going on there, but it's pretty much the same. Dear friends, Martin Luther, he had such great praise for this verse in Holy Scripture. Listen to what he has to say. This gospel is one of the most magnificent passages to be found in the whole New Testament. And were it possible, worthy to be inscribed with golden letters into our hearts. You can't ever get bored with John 3:16. I mean, there's a lifetime of learning here. So much to savor and rejoice in. So much to gobble up and digest. Now, John 3:16 is just the greatest, because John 3:16 proclaims the greatest love ever, the greatest gift ever, and the greatest rescue ever. First, we learn that John 3:16 proclaims the greatest love ever towards you and me. For God so loved the world. God. There is no one, nothing bigger and better than God. The Elon Musk and the Warren Buffetts of the world pale in comparison. No contest. I mean, God is in a league of his own. He is. He really is. No one can top God. He is the only one who has no beginning, no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is totally and utterly self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything, especially from us. And that's what we hear in Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Everything belongs to God because God created everything, speaking everything into existence using his word, the word Jesus. We know who this God is. I mean, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who named himself at the burning bush, I am, speaking that name to Moses. This is the God who revealed himself most beautifully in the Jordan River as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, the blessed triune God. There is no one bigger and better than God. And what does this God do? For God so loved the world. Surprised? Amazed? Did your gum just fall out of your mouth? Please do not put it back into your mouth. That would be absolutely gross. I mean, this is absolutely unexpected. It really is. After all, can we in good conscience say that there's anything lovable about this world, this humanity? Is there anything to love about Boko Haram storming into a boarding school in Nigeria, abducting 110 girls? That happened just this last week. Is there anything lovable about bombs being dropped on Syria, killing babies and children, families? I mean, you see the pictures and the video footage. Horrific. Is there anything lovable about a young man going into a school in Florida and shooting it up, killing 17 people? There's not much to love about mankind. If we are honest with ourselves, then we see in us the very darkness that led to Auschwitz and the killing fields of Mao. Dear friends, we all have those thoughts and those words and those deeds that we absolutely regret, that are just horrific, that have caused so much pain in our families and amongst our friends, that we wished never occurred in the first place. Nevertheless, God doesn't run in the opposite direction screaming, leaving us to fend for ourselves, for God so loved the world. Wow. His is a love that has no bounds, no limits, no exceptions, no strings attached, no conditions. Oh, wondrous love! Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. No one can say, God doesn't love me. If you say that, you are making God into a liar, liar, pants on fire, liar. Hands down. God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? Touch yourself. Make sure. Yes. You are. God loves you. God so loved Connie. God so loved Kai. God so loved you. He loves you. Stop doubting. Believe. Just believe. He loves you. Remember, his love is not like our love. His love doesn't go after the likable and the lovable and those who will return his love. His love is out of this world. And yet, his love is for everyone in the world. A love that we see in his gift to us. The greatest gift ever. Yes. Second, we learn from John 3:16 about the greatest gift to you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Now, we can recite these words, we read these words, we hear these words proclaimed into our ears, but how often do we actually meditate on these words? It's so easy for these words to go in one ear and out the other. What is the old saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. Pastor, come on. We know these words. We've heard them 1,000 times. Chop, chop, move on to something better. May we never get bored with these words. For these John 3:16 words put everything, absolutely everything, into perspective for us, revealing the one thing needful, reminding us of how much God truly loves us, how much we mean to him, how much we are worth to him. You are worth more than all the riches in the world combined. You are. The cross tells you so. You are worth the death of God's only Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son into our death. That God-forsaken death we deserve to die. 1,000 times over. Why? What's the purpose? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God the Father has manifested the greatest love ever with the greatest gift ever, the gift of his Son, to pull off the greatest rescue ever. Which brings us to the final point. Finally, we learn that John 3:16 proclaims the greatest rescue ever for you and for me. We need rescue. We can't save ourselves, folks. I mean, Pastor Paul makes that crystal clear in our epistle reading this morning, Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Newsflash, dead people can't do anything. Go to a dead person and say, hey, get up! Wake up, sleepyhead! Come on! Make me some dinner! Pronto! That's a waste of your breath. You can do that till you're blue in the face. Doesn't matter. You're going to get anywhere. Dead people can't do anything. And that's us spiritually, folks. It really is. Apart from Christ, I am a dead as a doornail sinner. That's who I am. That's who you are. We can't make our move to God. We can't initiate our relationship with him. We can't. Worse, under sin, under death, under the power of the devil, we are barreling downhill towards the jaws of hell. Well, how can we get off this highway to hell? Pastor Paul tells us, Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Out of his inexpressible, inexhaustible, incomprehensible love for you and for me, God takes the initiative, flexing his salvation muscle, doing absolutely everything necessary to make us alive together with him forever. This is God's mode of operation. This is how he rolls. He seeks to save. He doesn't desire the death of any sinner. He doesn't desire your death or mine. He alone can and does rescue us. And that's what our OT Old Testament reading is all about. I mean, the Israelites, the people of God, Israel, are nothing but a pain in the butt. A huge pain in the butt. Grumbling to the max, complaining to Moses about his leadership, about the worthless food, about the lack of water, about the 40-year wilderness wandering, about the blisters on their feet. I mean, they're complaining about everything. I'm sure if it was 70 and sunny out there, to complain about that. They completely and totally throw God under the bus. Totally throw him under the bus. And what does God do? Talk about a wake-up call. Numbers 21:6. "Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died." The people of Israel, the people of God, Israel, realize that they deserve worse than fiery serpent poison coursing through their bodies. They deserve everlasting death and damnation. And so they cry out to God for mercy, confessing their sin, looking to him for rescue, and God doesn't let them down. He comes through for them. Numbers 21:8, "And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." By fixing their eyes on this bronze serpent, the people of God, Israel, lived. That was the only way they could survive. There was no other way. This OT Old Testament reading this morning is a sneak peek into God's greatest rescue ever for you and for me. See, humanity is snake bitten. We are. We're snake bitten. With that bloody venom of sin coursing through us, it's been slowly but surely killing us all ever since slithery serpent Satan sank his fangs into Papa Adam and Mama Eve. There is no way that we can heal ourselves, folks. No way. And God knows this. It's why he has mercy on us. It's why he loved us so much. He sent Jesus to suck the poison of sin, the venom of sin from our flesh, becoming our evil, becoming the adulterer, the liar, the gossiper, the drunkard, the addicted, the murderer that we are, becoming all that's wrong with us, becoming all that's wrong with this violent dog-eat-dog world. Jesus becomes a serpent and is lifted up, letting our sin crush him so that he could crush the head of slithery serpent Satan, gaining, achieving, accomplishing the healing that we so desperately need. The cure, of the cross is the cure. The curse of the cross is the cure. Fix your eyes on the crucified Jesus. The Good Friday Jesus is the only Jesus that saves. This is how we survive. There is no other. As Jesus himself says in John 3:15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Dear friends, if all we had in the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, was this single verse, John 3:16, it'd be enough. It's all we need. It's everything we need. John 3:16 is enough because the Jesus that John 3:16 proclaims is enough. And get this, we not only hear John 3:16, we get to taste and see John 3:16. Where? Boom, shakalaka, right there on the altar. Right there. Right there. Yes. Whoever eats, well, how do I say it in a few moments? As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his son on the cross for you. In a few moments, he's going to give his son into your mouth to eat and to drink. What are you waiting for? Come to the feast. All is ready. Taste and see the greatest love, the greatest gift, the greatest rescue right here, all for you, all as gift. Eat, drink, be merry. For tomorrow, well, tomorrow you live. You live today, tomorrow, and forevermore. No, get this, perishing isn't in your future. Not even death. No expiration date for you. Only life. Forever life. With the triune God, that blessed Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all there in John 3:16. God's promise to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Believe, and so you have. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.